So here we are, 8 games into the NBA season. The Cavaliers at 3-5. Cavaliers play well at home, undefeated, 3-0. Play terrible on the road. They're 0-5, and they have losses on the road, which are unacceptable, in my opinion, to Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Charlotte. Those are three teams that I think they have better talent than, and they should have beaten at least two out of those three on the road. We'll get to that here in a second. But what's wrong with the Cavaliers? They're 3-5. Well, where are their struggles? I think it's glaring. Everybody should be able to see this. It's on offense. Mike Brown has focused a lot of his attention to turning this team around defensively first and foremost. And I get that. They were horrific last year under Byron Scott defensively. So that's been the focus of Mike Brown. But having said that, and the defense has gotten a little bit better, he needs to spend more time on offense in practice. They have to get better offensively. They are tough to watch. They are painful to watch at times on offense. Kyrie Irving, teams have figured out his dribble game. He likes to dribble the ball a lot and try and break down defenses with his handle and get to the rim and finish. Teams are collapsing. Why? The Cavaliers don't have many legitimate outside shooters. CJ Miles has been a breath of fresh air this year, doing a nice job coming off the bench, averaging almost 13 points per game. He's been consistent with his shot, almost 50% to this point. But really, other than CJ Miles, is there a legitimate threat from the outside? Do teams fear anybody else shooting the three besides CJ Miles? Maybe Kyrie Irving, and that goes back to him having the ball in his hand, so if they do lay off, he's going to have to start making his jump shots, which he's struggled to do so far, shooting only 38% from the field. But other than those two, is there a legitimate threat from beyond the arc? No, there really isn't. Deion Waiters is not a legitimate three-point threat. Yes, he may be shooting 40% right now, but teams will be happy to give Deion Waiters the three-point shot instead of doing what he does best, and that's attacking the rim, and he doesn't do that enough. So offensively, this team right now has no clue, no identity of what they want to do. However, with the insertion of Andrew Bynum into the starting lineup last night in the road game at the Chicago Bulls, I think that Mike Brown is hoping that by having Bynum out there with the starters, that will open up some things for the other guys. But they need to learn to play off of each other. Andrew Bynum is a legitimate, true, low post presence on offense and defense. And on offense, we saw it a couple of times last night. Throw the ball down low, he'll dribble in, hit a hook shot. So teams will start to double team Andrew Bynum in the low post. So what does that do? That should open up the outside shots for guys or guys cutting to the basket. And we saw that twice in the game against Chicago. One time he fed Deion Waiters for a wide open three. Deion drained it. And the other time Alonzo G actually cut to the basket while Bynum was being double teamed, and Bynum found him for a dunk. Bynum is a very good passer for a big man. And hopefully with Mike Brown inserting Andrew Bynum into the starting lineup, that will help move this offense in a positive direction, with Bynum being a low post presence, scoring points down in the paint, as well as setting up some of his teammates off the ball. Now, I mentioned Deion Waiters and the fact that I don't think he's a legitimate three-point threat. I would start CJ Miles at the two instead of Deion Waiters. I would move Deion Waiters to the bench and bring him as the first guy off the bench when Kyrie comes out. Here's why. To me, what I've seen from last year and so far in the 8 games this year, Kyrie and Deion do not play well together. Why? Both need the ball to be a dominant offensive player. They are both guys that have to create for themselves. They need the ball in their hands to be effective on offense. And it's kind of hard when you have two players that all they want to do really is try to dribble and take it to the rim and break people down. Defenses are starting to collapse. The paint is drying up. So for me, what I would do is I would start CJ Miles at the two, especially with Bynum now at the five, and have Kyrie Irving as your dominant point guard, your starter with the first five, and then bring Deion off the bench with Jared Jack as the point guard and move Jack to the number two spot. That's the way I would handle some of the problems offensively for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The small forward position, awful, horrible. And we knew that before the season, right? I mean, come on. Alonzo G and Earl Clark, those are your small forwards. CJ Miles kind of plays the small forward position. There is a gaping hole, a huge hole at the small forward position. Now, the Cavaliers are hoping to fill that next year with you-know-who. That's right, LeBron James. But this year, it's going to be tough to watch the Cavaliers' small forwards night in and night out go up against some of the better players in the NBA, and they happen to play the small forward position throughout the league. So, to me, that's the biggest need on this team, along with the outside shooting. Yes, you could go back to the drafts, and I'm on record, you all know this, as saying I would have given up the entire draft for Bradley Beal in 2012. I thought he was the perfect running mate for Kyrie Irving. You talk about a great 1-2 punch, somebody playing off another player to perfection. I think it would have been Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving. Beal averaging 21 points this year, shooting 48% from three-point range. He would have been the perfect complement to Kyrie Irving. But he went higher in the draft. The Cavaliers elected not to move up and try and trade for Bradley Beal. Instead, they took Dion Waiters over Harrison Barnes. Again, that small forward position. I would have went with Barnes, but the Cavaliers elected to go with Dion Waiters. You go back a couple of years, the Tristan Thompson pick. Hey, let's give credit where credit is due right now. The best player, the most consistent player, the most improved player, all of the above so far for the Cavaliers this year, Tristan Thompson. He's averaging a double-double. He finished strong last year, and he's taken it to that level and then some already this year. He switched from shooting left-handed to right-handed in the offseason, and he's still averaging a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, and his shooting percentage, 46% from the field, pretty good for a guy who went from shooting left-handed to right-handed, and even better at the free throw line at 76%. So a tip of the cap. Kudos to Tristan Thompson. I questioned that pick back in 2011 in the draft at number 4 overall. I wanted either Klay Thompson or a Valanciunas from Toronto, either the lights-out long-range shooter or the big center. But Tristan Thompson right now making that pick look good for Chris Grant. He's been the most effective. Where you don't want to tip the cap to Chris Grant, to this point anyways, is with this year's number 1 overall pick, Anthony Bennett, giving the Cavaliers absolutely, positively nothing so far this season. He's averaging 0.7 points per game. Not 7 points per game. That would be 0.7 points per game, shooting 4%. Single digit shooting percentage for Anthony Bynum. 4% from the field overall. 9% from three-point range, and 50% from the free throw line. This from the number 1 overall pick. Now, he dinged his shoulder up a little bit, not the one he had operated on in the offseason, the opposite one the other night in the game. He didn't play at all last night. Mike Brown saying he was just resting Anthony Bennett because of that shoulder. But right now, Anthony Bennett is a mess. An absolute mess, and you can't get that from the number 1 overall pick in the draft. I will say this, though. This year's draft class, nobody is really setting the world on fire out of this year's draft class. Michael Carter Williams, who the Cavaliers saw the other night in Philadelphia, is your leading scorer amongst first-round draft picks. He was the 11th overall pick. He's averaging 18.7 points per game. He's the best so far. Victor Oladipo at about 12 points per game. The guy that I wanted, again, another guy that I thought would have been perfect for Kyrie Irving, playing off of Kyrie Irving, Ben McLemore, averaging about 9 points per game. But when you look at his shooting percentage, about 44% from the field, 42% from three-point range. Would have been the perfect complement to Kyrie Irving. But nobody, in fairness to Anthony Bennett, who has stunk so far, nobody really separating themselves with the exception of maybe Michael Carter Williams and Victor Oladipo in the first 11 in this draft. Heck, Otto Porter Jr., Nerlens Noel, Trey Burke, and CJ McCollum haven't even played yet this year amongst the lottery picks in the draft. But Anthony Bennett has to get better. He has to contribute more than he's done so far for this Cavalier team to be a serious playoff contender. Now, we've talked about a lot of the bad things so far that we've seen from the Cavaliers, mostly on offense, and Mike Brown needs to spend more time figuring that that out. Andrew Bynum said after the game last night that they were going to spend a lot of time in practice today and more time in practices coming up, working on the offense, especially with Bynum in with the starters, him learning the plays, and Kyrie, and if it's Deion who stays in the starting lineup, and whoever it is at small forward, learning, and Tristan learning to play off of Andrew Bynum. That is by far a must, and Jared Jack has to pick his game up too. I love the offseason signing. I still think that's going to work out well for the Cavaliers, but Jared Jack, like Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters, struggling to shoot it from the field. In fact, when you combine Deion, Kyrie, and Jared Jack, they're shooting 38% as a trio. And there are times, and we've seen it a number of times already this year, but more times probably later in the year, where all three of those guys are going to be on the floor at the same time. Well, they better be able to knock down those outside open shots, because teams are going to sag on Tristan and Andrew Bynum and take away the paint for the dribble drives with Deion and Kyrie Irving. So those guys better be able to knock down some wide open shots. Let's talk a little bit about some of the good things that we've seen from the Cavaliers, even though they're 3-5, and like I said, very bad losses at Charlotte, at Milwaukee, and at Philadelphia. The Cavaliers don't play well on the road, but still should have been able to win two out of those three games against non-playoff teams, in my opinion. What's good so far? The defense is better than last year. It is. Mike Brown, you can see that they've spent a lot of time on defense, and it's paying some dividends. The Cavaliers, 12th in the league in points allowed. That's much better than where they were last year. I think 27th, somewhere between 27 and 30 last year in points allowed to the opposition. Also, holding the opposition to 43% shooting so far. The defense is definitely better. The five guys on a string mentality, Mike Brown has been preaching that to them, beating them over the head with it, and they're getting it for most of the game, but not for 48 minutes. That still has to improve, but it's better than last year. Another good thing, Andrew Bynum. Not only is he playing, Mike Brown is now starting Andrew Bynum. I didn't think that would be the case probably until maybe 25 games into the season. So that is a positive for the Cavaliers, and hopefully they will learn to play off of Andrew Bynum. Kyrie needs to swallow his ego a little bit and realize that maybe the offense needs to run through Andrew Bynum and not through him every time down the floor. But to have Andrew Bynum out there, played 20 minutes last night in Chicago. Mike Brown starting Andrew Bynum. Great passer. He's a large human being. He can create problems down there. That is a good sign for the Cavaliers. We mentioned Tristan Thompson. Double D for double T. That's right. Averaging a double-double for Tristan Thompson so far. That's outstanding. C.J. Miles off the bench. Gotta love C.J. Miles off the bench. 12 points per game. But I think C.J.'s done enough where I would start him because I think he could play better off of Kyrie Irving than Deion Waiters. Kyrie's assist, while we're not happy with the way Kyrie has played to this point, averaging 19 points per game, and his assists are up. Let's give him credit there. 7.5 assists per game. Rebounds are up to 4.6, but again, too much dribbling, shot selection not good, and he needs to learn to play off of Andrew Bynum, like we said earlier, and also try and continue to get others involved in the offense, in spacing the offense, as opposed to maybe forcing shots down the lane. But I like the fact that his assists are up, but his turnovers are also up. He's got to get a better balance between assists and turnovers. And the other good thing about, we're only 8 games into the season, right? 74 games to go. That's the good thing about this. There is time to get this thing figured out. I picked the Cavaliers to go 41-41 and make the playoffs this year. I still think they will do that. It's going to take time, but it is painful to watch. Now, let's check in with some of your tweets that you sent to me at the Kenny Rota. We've got one here from Thomas Pestak. He says, Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters might not play off each other very well. I agree with you 100%, Thomas. That's why I'm saying move Deion Waiters to the bench. I think he would thrive in that sixth man role like he did at Syracuse coming off the bench. And I think C.J. Miles is a better fit in the backcourt with Kyrie Irving. C.J. is a catch and shoot type guy, whereas Deion Waiters, in my opinion, is not. Josh Walbum disagrees. He says, I think Deion has a super high ceiling. C.J. has already hit his. If you want to start C.J., start him at the small forward position. Well, that's a possibility too. But then you're weakening the bench dramatically. You take 12 points away from the bench, and in my theory, in starting CJ, okay, you're replacing Deion and CJ in the starting lineup, and Deion gives you that bench production. Now, your starters will be better if you would go with a three-man rotation there of Kyrie, Deion, and CJ Miles, but it would weaken your bench production because right now, Alonzo G and Earl Clark aren't going to give you any offense. And, I mean, combined 8 points out of those two, one's a starter and one's coming off the bench, bring them both off the bench. I don't know if that would be productive. What else do we have here via Twitter? At Scott Zepinski, we can't have Brown yelling at Kyrie. If anything, it should be the other way around. Brown's offensive scheme is atrocious. I disagree with you, Scott, and here's why. I like the fact that in the first quarter last night in Chicago, when Kyrie came out of the game, Mike Brown was in his ear and followed him down the bench and chewed him out. Kyrie needs more of that. We don't need another situation like the last time Mike Brown here was here as the head coach and LeBron getting preferential treatment, able to do whatever he wanted. I like the fact that Mike Brown is not showing any favorites, just like Greg Popovich doesn't show any favorites in San Antonio. He chews out Tim Duncan if Tim Duncan deserves to be chewed out. So I disagree with you. I think it's good that Mike Brown is on Kyrie, and it's to make him a better player offensively and defensively. Phil Temple hit me up on Twitter. He says, Kenny, I thought Kyrie and Jared were awful in terms of their shot selection, defense, forcing shots, turnovers. Did I miss anything? No, you didn't. You were absolutely correct in the game against Chicago. They were absolutely awful in all of the areas that you pointed out. Patrick Swayze on Twitter hit me up and he says, did Chris Grant not do his homework? Then if he didn't realize that, Harrison Barnes may have been a better natural fit in this offense. Yes, you and I are on the same page, Patrick Swayze. I agree with you. I would have taken Harrison Barnes over Deion Waiters at that point. I would have traded up for Bradley Beal. If I wasn't able to do that, sitting there at four, I would have taken Barnes over Deion Waiters. Small forward position taken care of, better fit for Kyrie. I agree with you 100%. This from S. Starrett 3. Too early to second-guess Waiters instead of Beal. We talked about that. Yes, I wanted Bradley Beal, but in fairness to Chris Grant, Beal was already drafted. The Cavaliers elected not to move up. I would have, but the Cavaliers elected not to, so at four, Beal wasn't available, so you couldn't draft him there, but I, like I said, would have moved up to get him. Mullins hit me up. Kyrie just has been awful. Let's admit it. Not playing like an all-star at all, not consistently, at least. So far, your assessment is correct. 38% shooting from the field, 35% from three-point range, only 71% from the free throw line. Turnovers, 2.5 per game. Now, the assists are up, the rebounds are up, that's good, but the scoring average is down and the shooting percentages are down. Yes, he hasn't played like an all-star to this point. Robert Nero says, Jack needs the ball in his hands as well to be effective. Robert, yes and no. I think Jared Jack is more capable of playing off the ball than Deion Waiters is. The dominant ball handlers on this team are Kyrie and Deion Waiters. And I think Jared Jack is probably more effective when he has the ball, but he's better playing off the ball than Deion is at this point. So that's why I would go Deion as the sixth man coming off the bench to replace Kyrie and Jared Jack in the same backcourt with Deion. I think those two could play together better than what Kyrie and Deion are doing right now. Cleese Sports Hell hit me up at the Kenny Rota. Is it too soon to bring back Atbeth? Another ping pong ball in the hopper. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, far too early to bring back Atbeth. I am not in Atbeth mode this year. I am in playoff mode. I want to win. The Cavaliers players, these young guys, these core members need to experience the playoffs. They need to get into the playoffs for themselves to know what it's like, to learn what it's like to play in a playoff game. And the other thing that they need to do is show other free agents that they're a playoff team. Show LeBron James that they're a playoff team and make it easier maybe for some free agents to seriously consider the Cavaliers in the offseason. If you're a lottery team again, do I really want to go there as a big-name free agent to a lottery team? Probably not. If they're a playoff team, hey, if I go there, I can add the, maybe the missing piece and get them over the hump. So it's important to make the playoffs this year. No Atbeth. I am not promoting Atbeth this season at all. And last one here on Twitter, and thanks to all the Twitches for sending in these tweets today from Hiram Boyd. His comment, I expected the struggles early. The ball movement needs to be a lot more consistent along with the defensive rotations. I agree, Hiram. Yeah. Chris Grant told me that they would struggle early on. It was going to take some time. And we're seeing that, especially on offense, a new coach, his principles, his philosophies, his shortcomings still as an offensive coach. We're seeing that early on. That's why, you know what? Let's revisit this at the 25-game mark, right? Let's see where they are after 25 games and whether or not, you know, the sense of panic is still there. I think it's too early to panic now at 3-5, but you can't be happy with what you're seeing, especially in those early season losses to Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Charlotte. Get better on offense. Figure out how to play with Andrew Bynum. I would separate Kyrie and Dion. Bring Dion off the bench. CJ as your starting two guard. Make some more moves with the starting lineup, with the rotation, and try and figure this thing out. I think the Cavaliers will be okay eventually. It's going to be tough to watch at times early on, and we're seeing that already. But I think they have enough talent to be a 500 team and make the playoffs this year. It doesn't look like it now, but I think it will get better as the season progresses.